honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Owygen. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It's a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today. Kind of a cloudy, hazy Seattle, you know, drizzly. Yeah, Seattle like Christmas as we're heading into, obviously, the Christmas weekend and all that. So hope all of you are ready to rock and roll for that, I suppose, whatever that means. But we're not having a white Christmas this year, at least not at all. But the Timberwolves continue to play excellent basketball. Unfortunately, a very frustrating back and forth kind of it wasn't back and forth. It was one-sided. Loss to the Philadelphia 76ers kind of puts a little dampener, as this weather is right now, on a pretty darn good week, generally speaking. Like, the Wolves crush Indiana 127-109, but pull away later in the game. A very impressive game versus the Miami Heat on the road. And also a 118-111 win over the Lakers without LeBron James, but Anthony Davis did play in the game. Yes, Anthony Edwards played as well. Four games to review, three games to preview coming up. And this Wolves 3-1 week and remaining atop the Western Conference. So all is well, at least for now. Hopefully Karl Anthony Towns is okay, as it looked like some type of a leg, like lower body, you know, like leg basically issue late in the Laker game. No information out as of yet, at least that I know of. Maybe something will come up. It was funny though how many people they were saying were out coming into this one, but pretty much everybody played except LeBron James, at least for the most part. But LeBron James kind of important, I suppose, for the success of the LA Lakers. And yes, D'Angelo Russell played, and me and Vince Germano had a few back and forths about that guy. But then again, back and forth, but agreeing 100%, basically, that we're not fans. We're just not. D'Angelo Russell's second stint with the Los Angeles Lakers. The first one disappointing. The second one, not much better, really. Not really, because he definitely didn't live up to the truth. He didn't live up to the hype. Anyhow, Indianapolis, Indiana Pacers, 127-109 victory for the Minnesota Timberwolves in Target Center. Definitely a back-and-forth type of a game. Indiana definitely has a great offensive ability, but their defense apparently is why they're 13-11, or they were 13-11 upon the loss versus the Wolves, giving up 127 points. It felt like a super impressive game, though. It's just that, again, Indiana's offense is an impressive thing, but it just wasn't their night in a lot of ways. And, well, yeah, certain important players didn't play in the game. So, yeah, a guy by the name of Haliburton. So that definitely makes a huge difference for the Indiana Pacers. I mean, there's definitely that. Nas Reed, another great game off the bench, 17 points. And Indiana showing their lack of defense definitely in this game. Buddy Hield was scoreless in the game. So it's kind of like one thing after another. It was a combination of the Wolves' defense and offense that absolutely derailed the Indiana Pacers. Buddy Hield started in the game instead of he just started in the game. Let's just leave it at that. And didn't do anything. He got three turnovers, added to his 0 points. He did add two assists and a rebound. Was 0 for 4 from the floor, 0 for 3 from outside, and 18 minutes. Just not a good game at all. T.J. McConnell started at point guard, who's adequate at best. But the Wolves, again, were the story in this game, not the Indiana Pacers in any form. Just kind of talking about. So, again, the Wolves capitalizing in a situation where a star player is out. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you could easily lose games like that. I remember when the Wolves in the Garnett era would lose games like that all the time, and it was extremely frustrating because X player or two on the other team had the game of their life, or they just had a really good night, or blah, blah, blah. Karl-Anthony Towns pretty much from the get-go was the hot hand, and then as the game progressed, Anthony Edwards also became the hot hand, kind of took over down the stretch with 37 points. Carlton comes with 40, so of course you do the math, and they combine four. 77 points in the game, absolutely incredible for just two players. Troy Brown Jr. added 11, Kyle Anderson added 10 assists, Mike Conley added 9 assists, so 19 assists between those two guys. Again, good ball movement, and good execution and shots made by Karl-Anthony Towns and Anthony Edwards. Karl-Anthony Towns, a little inside and outside type of a game. Obviously, you know, kind of getting to the basket, some of those baby hooks that actually go in, unlike, you know, players we had in the past. Some of them would go in and some of them wouldn't, and it used to drive us crazy. Anthony Edwards shooting 7 of 10 from outside is insanely impressive, and, you know, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day if Anthony Edwards is 7 of 10 from outside. And again, a lot of that was kind of down the stretch, as well as pulled away in a big way in the third quarter. The anti-Wolves quarter in the past. So now we're actually winning 38-23 there. Again, it was kind of a back-and-forth battle in the first half. Definitely back-and-forth, close game. But third quarter, the Wolves just simply pulled away and then paralleled things into the fourth as we got closer and closer to garbage time. But we'd never really officially got into garbage time until the very end when the bench could finally be emptied, where Wendell Moore finally getting a couple of minutes, 3.5, along with Jordan McLaughlin, and Shake Milton barely getting in the rotation as well. Well, he basically didn't. He was in the garbage time also, for the most part. Only 5 minutes and 22 seconds for him. Troy Brown Jr. has definitely been the better addition so far, where all the other guys were already here, of course. Rudy Gobert, definitely not much of an offensive week at all. I mean, you're going to get a lot of single digits in field goal attempts and single digits in points when it comes to Rudy Gobert, and minimal minutes in this one as well. I hope he's okay, other than, I guess, Naz Reid played super well. That's part of it. He was a plus 25 and 17 off the bench. Great game for Naz Reid, and Carl was just so damn good. You just kind of enjoy and capitalize at that. So as Carl and Naz definitely playing well. And I suppose if Rudy Gobert, you know, if you can sit him out for a minute and he's not banged up, we hope that everything will be fine. You know, that'll kind of preserve him as the season progresses. It's kind of like a miniature load management. It's like you play, but maybe you don't play as much if not necessary, especially for, you know, when you're getting in your 30 pluses and such. Jaden McDaniels also very limited minutes. Not the best game necessarily, but not the worst game either. I believe he was actually banged up a bit in this one. Yes, he was. Yeah, this is the one where he actually hurt his ankle a little bit again. But you'll see him play again, thankfully. It's not like he was out, and the Wolves were screwed. But, again, this was one of Kyle Anderson's better games. Generally speaking, he's not been playing well at all. Just 2 of 4 from the floor for 4 points. So nothing spectacular there, but at least, again, helping run the offense in Scottie Pippen mode, point forward type of a style. But a fun, enjoyable, relaxing. Well, the first half wasn't necessarily relaxing. The second half just kind of, it's not even relaxing, just satisfying, fun. You can't really call it relaxing. It was exciting. It was an energetic type of a game. And you get to see two star players be star players. And that was awesome. And again, no Halliburton. So can't get too cocky after this one for that reason. Not that I like people getting cocky anyway. Then we get more of a defensive battle with the Miami Heat. Heat culture and all that. It's all over the court and blah, blah, blah. And the Heat were winning this game most of the way. Most of the way. But the second half went completely Timberwolves' direction, as the Wolves have the number one defense in the league in terms of field goal percentage and points allowed, at least until the frickin' Philly game anyway. We gave up 1 million points there. Ugh. But, yeah, only 42 points in the second half for the Heat. Field goal percentage and points allowed throughout the entire season, the Wolves are number one in the NBA in the second half in field goal percentage, you know, given up and points given up. That's insane. So it's nice to know we basically have the best second-half defense in the league, and that's why the Timberwolves continue to pull away in these games. Anthony Edwards, aggressive, fantastic throughout the night. Rudy Gobert, still single-digit points, so wound up with 16 rebounds in the game. Guys were missing shots. Rudy Gobert had a very impressive block on Bam Adebayo in this game as well. Kyle Anderson, only 5 points, 2 of 4. So again, Kyle Anderson's offense has kind of disappeared a little bit, but at least he's getting assists, as the Conley-Anderson connection, in terms of assists anyway, ended up combining for 11, and then you had Anthony Edwards with 5 more, so pretty good. pretty good ball movement in a game where the field goal percentage certainly wasn't as high as it was in the Indiana game, but somehow the Wolves still managed to shoot almost 50% in this game, despite it becoming a bit of a defensive battle, but the Heat were more struggling and missing shots because the Wolves' defense was that good throughout the night. Three blocks for Jaden McDaniels. Again, he'd come back and continue playing, but unfortunately, he would foul out. He was aggressive and fouled out over the course of the game. So, obviously, yeah, staying just under 30 minutes, but three blocks, beautiful, beautiful, generally speaking. No 3 points attempted. Carl has definitely kept his three-point shooting down a bit. Carl just kind of, obviously a bit more reserved in this game, played well, efficient and all that, but generally speaking, I'd say more of a reserved game where Anthony Edwards was a more aggressive player. Naz Reid missed a lot of shots, but still wound up with 13 points. Again, it was a battle out there. It was just a flat-out battle, and the Timberwolves definitely, another great game. Mike Conley, 4 of 5 from downtown, and that was a huge, huge, huge help along the way. Four turnovers, which is uncharacteristic, but again, Miami's defense is real good. And, well, Heat culture plastered all over the place, and people joking now, well, it's Wolves culture now, dang it. As Wolves culture is playing great defense, particularly in the second half, until the Philadelphia game, that was a little different. It's the refs' fault, damn it. It's the refs' fault. Kind of. The refs didn't help, let's just put it that way, and the refs aren't going to bail you out. Joel Embiid's going to get every call in the history of the world. 51 points for Joel Embiid, and he didn't make his second field goal from the floor until midway through the second quarter, and he still wound up with 51 points. But that's not including free throws, because field goals are actually when you're like in active play. Patrick Beverley playing against the Wolves again, and that's great. Seemed to be friendly enough, at least. Anthony Edwards did wind up with 27 points, Carl with 23. Jaden McDaniels was pretty damn good early on in the game, but then it just kind of stayed that, then he was done scoring pretty much, and he wasn't as aggressive as the game continued. Still wound up staying in the game for about 38 minutes, so a lot more minutes than he had been getting of late. Gobert, 8 points, again, another single-digit night. 4 personal fouls, as again, there were fouls everywhere. Rudy Gobert's minutes were limited to only 24 because of that. He had 2 fouls right away, pretty much, and had to sit. Karl Anthony Towns had 2 fouls right away, and, well, stayed out there a little longer. As they put Naz Reid out there, he had 3 personal fouls in the game. He was a minus 27, was Naz Reid in the game. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, or Nah, or whatever you want to call him, a minus 24, as Joel Embiid, Marlon Maxey's son, I do believe, right? Former Timberwolf, Marlon Maxey, Tyrese Maxey, who was an outstanding player for the Philadelphia 76ers. No, Philadelphia pick sixes. I don't know. They were, I don't know. They just, Philadelphia 9 million free throws. Okay, I don't know what I'm talking about. 6 of 6s in Tyrese Maxey, anyway, case. Made all 6 of his free throw attempts. It's not like that crazy of a number. 17 of 18, though. See, that's the thing about Joel Embiid. Yes, he gets a lot of bleeping calls. A lot of them are legitimate. It's just that they're not called the other way sometimes. Like Karl Anthony Towns gets a lot of non-calls, probably because of his whining and bitching. Where Joel Embiid, that's kind of why Joel Embiid made fun of him in the past, along with the former Miami Heat player. We'll leave that alone, who's got a really goofy-looking profile picture this year. Still don't understand it, and I don't think I ever will, actually. We all know who that is. And if you don't know who it is, well, look at Miami Heat players and who has the goofiest profile picture, especially one of the more important players on the team. Anyhow, Kelly Oubre, the former Charlotte Hornet, who used to drive us nuts, only 7 points in the game, but he wasn't really, it didn't matter. Joel Embiid, just give him the ball and get out of the way, kind of, the type of thing, because he's going to get the calls. Now, the point I was trying to make earlier about Joel Embiid getting all the bleeping calls and all that stuff, getting to the line all the time, right? Well, the credit to Joel Embiid, no matter how you may feel about the calls, no matter how you might feel about the frustration of it all, unlike so many big men out there, including a certain number 27 of Minnesota, Joel Embiid makes free throws. Yeah, 17 of 18. I mean, he was, he made all of his free throws except for one, basically. And, gosh, he almost fouled out. Wouldn't that have been nice? Oh, that would have been wonderful if Joel Embiid fouled out. I think we'd be dancing on the moon. It's just, unfortunately, that never happened. And even if it did, it might have been too little too late anyway. We're just hoping, please foul out, please foul out. But unfortunately, that just never came. So it's against the law. Tyrese Maxey was flying to the basket over and over again and also hitting threes. 5 of 12 is an inside-outside type of game for Tyrese Maxey. He's a hell of a player. I wouldn't mind having him, eventually. It'd be nice to have a talent like that be like the eventual replacement for a certain veteran who is the adult of adults when it comes to the Timberwolves, named Mike Conley. I mean, I do not want to lose Mike Conley at all. I don't want to see him retire. I don't want to see him go. I wish he was the Timberwolves point guard his whole career, man. I really do. I really do. Like the whole time, 2007 all the way up till today, I wish he was the Timberwolves point guard his whole career. I loved him coming out of college, Ohio State, so on and so forth. Loved him with the Grizzlies. Loved him with the Jazz. You know, I mean, just, you know, how do you not like Mike Conley? Seriously. I wish he was here his whole career. That's all I'm trying to say. But again, eventually you're going to need a young young guy to be the point guard of the future. It'd be nice to have somebody like Tyrese Maxey. We'll just leave it at that. You know, kind of doing a little bit of everything out there. Hell of a game. Yes, this game was insanely frustrating beyond belief. It felt like Joel Embiid could do whatever he wanted. And it felt like, in general, the Philadelphia 76ers could do whatever they wanted. There's kind of like the Philadelphia Eagles out there as well at times. Except when they play the Chiefs, I'm rooting for the Eagles 1,000,000%, like last year in the Super Bowl. But outside of that, I'm very rarely rooting for the Eagles. 76ers is kind of similar in a sense because, you know, I don't know. Put it this way, Joel Embiid talks a lot of stuff, but he does back it up. He does, when he's healthy. And he has been healthy, credit to him. And he makes his free throws, credit to him. He might be the MVP again. He might get his second MVP in the NBA. And right now, he'd probably get my vote. I don't want to say it, but he'd probably get my vote right now. If I was like a, you know, an old classic or whatever my age is. But just saying, if I was an established NBA writer, which I wouldn't mind doing. If I was an established NBA writer and you get to vote for MVPs and such, I'd probably give him the vote. I probably would. And I probably wouldn't be the only person either. I hate saying it, though, believe me. I'd like it to go to Anthony Edwards, no doubt about that. But, well, I mean, I don't know. And Karl-Anthony Towns has been playing like more of an MVP of late, generally speaking. 23-point game for him. He was extremely efficient. Only 14 field goal attempts, though. Anthony Edwards, 9 of 20. That's not that great. And Klang's a lot of threes, 2 of 6 in this one. But did get 7 of 8 at the line, at least. At least the Wolves made a lot of the free throws they attempted. But they only attempted 24 in the game, where Joel Embiid at 18 all by himself. So, I mean, that's frustrating in a sense. Very, very frustrating game. But you kind of sort of saw this coming. And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, it seems like the Wolves have been beating teams without their star player. Again, credit to the Wolves for doing the job. Don't play down to your opponent. Just go out there and kick some butt. But at the same time, bummer. You know, we did beat the Celtics head-to-head 100%, and that was great. And we've had other insanely impressive wins throughout the course of this season, you know. So, Jimmy Butler did play versus Miami, and he was kind of useless in the game, quite frankly. You notice I didn't even talk about him, except when I made fun of his profile picture. Again, because I can't stop doing that, because I'm mean and judgmental, and I'm just a terrible person. Just horrible human being. I can't do it. I just can't do it, because I'm just so horrible. Wolves come back to Target Center, back-to-back. Thankfully, did not come back super tired, where they were just like unable to hang in there. Sucks to lose our sixth game of the year, but at least the Wolves would win their 21st. Anthony Edwards, another very nice game down the stretch, particularly as the game wore on. Anthony Davis did play. See, Vince Germano before the game was saying the Wolves would win this thing by 30, because it looked like multiple players would be out. Like Anthony Davis wasn't going to play possibly. Not that Jared Vanderbilt, yeah, he has been buried, and that's really sad to see. It's sad. Torian Prince played in the game. Rui Hachimura started. I believe Reddish should be the guy that wouldn't be starting, if I'm thinking correctly, without LeBron James. I like Cam Reddish, but he's been kind of an off-injured player, unfortunately. Rui Hachimura had he landed on his back super hard, so kind of similar to Anthony Edwards with the hip. Similar thing where you land on the floor real hard driving to the basket. And a flagrant was called on Naz Reid. You could see the frustration there, unfortunately. Naz Reid had no intention to injure the guy. He was just challenging him going up to the basket. But unfortunately, the angle was scary, where Rui Hachimura could have broke his arm. Easy, the way he landed. It's one of those deals where he pulled his arm out of the way at the last second, and you let your back or butt or whatever, or hip, take the brunt of the damage. Hachimura would not even sit out, so very tough, very impressive and all that. We'll see how sore and stiff he is. Yeah, we'll see if he misses a game or two. Wouldn't be surprised, but who knows? Maybe it wasn't super duper bad, but certainly bad enough where he wasn't exactly up on his feet in 5 seconds. But yep, jumping around to kind of loosen up that obviously bruised muscle when that took place. So that's what happens when you land like that. It's just an unfortunate fact, but maybe he'll be all right. Again, he could have easily broke his wrist or his arm easily, like that, the angle and the the angle of the fall and how hard of a fall it was, because it was pretty high up there. You know, he was pretty high up in the air, and you're kind of falling backwards from up there. It's pretty scary. So, it is what it is. Sometimes you just have to let your back or butt really take that extremely painful crash on the floor rather than putting your arm out to brace yourself, because you're going to break your arm. It's going to happen. So I broke my arm roller skating years ago. So it just would have been much better if I landed on my butt or back, believe me. Even if it took a little few minutes to get up, would have been better. Breaking your arm really sucks, let me tell you. So, Vince Germano, yep, we had a few interesting back and forths about D'Angelo Russell. Hopefully he doesn't mind. Well, I could even also save it for fan interaction. I could say it now. He's like, how good is Russell? Remember my message when we traded for him? And it's like, yep, you wrote bloody hell. And I said, yep, absolutely. I was also talking about how Flip Saunders, I've mentioned this probably 50 times on the show. That's why Vince didn't respond too much to that one. Probably because it's like, yeah, he's probably heard it 50 times, so I apologize. But in case you're new to the show or whatever, maybe even a new fan of the league, Tim Rules had the number one pick in the draft in 2015, when we ultimately took Carl Anthony Towns. But there were three main star players at the top of that draft: Carl Anthony Towns, what's the guy's name? Okafor, Jahlil Okafor, not Emeka, of course, and D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell got Flip Saunders, of course, was still the president of basketball at the time. He was still alive. God rest his soul. D'Angelo Russell got in the car because they were going to, kind of drive around, whatever, get to know each other a little bit and see if the Wolves want to take him. And Flip Saunders just got a bad vibe right away. Like, it's just arrogant SOB, and just full of himself, probably not really focused, kind of bored with everything. That sounds like D'Angelo Russell. That's not exactly what I heard or anything. It's just that's the vibe that's the vibe I'm imagining took place. Just kind of, just kind of full of himself. Thinks he's like, roll out the red carpet for me. I'm the coolest thing in the world. Dude, you haven't even been drafted to the NBA yet. Settle down, man. I don't care who you think you are. And has he really backed up all of that? Not really. Just a few clutch shots here and there. That's nice, but has he really backed it up? No. Like I was saying, Kobe used to call people a PAB, punk. Yeah, AB. Yeah, you can kind of guess what that is. And then Vince Germano said, mate, absolutely. I was saying he would definitely say that to D'Angelo Russell. So, yeah, he's definitely not a fan. I'm not a fan either. I was excited at first, but, yeah, it was frustrating. Marcus the Forecaster. See, I better read this now. Marcus the Forecaster chimed in about the Philadelphia game, and if I don't read it right now and wait for fan interaction, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to forget. And then, because I've done it about 3 times now, which is, I just feel awful about it. Marcus the Forecaster about the Philadelphia game says, that was a bad loss. As much as I don't like Joel, he looked unstoppable in that game. Jesus. And still looks like a Wiggins to me. He can catch fire, but when he's not, he just takes, yes, I agree with that. He just takes bad shots. He has to be smarter than that, and Shake shouldn't have been in the game at all. And the refs suck.
Yeah. The endless, it was like, literally, like, what's his name? That what's his name, the one of the MVPs of the league right now, could just literally bowl through people, and there's a foul on you. So this is Magic Johnson's take on Joel Embiid, but no, he was talking about Michael Jordan at the time, but he could easily say the same thing. Here we go.
You can't get too close to Michael. It's a foul.
It's showtime. Yeah, okay, sorry. No, Magic Johnson's take on Joel Embiid, but he called him Michael. Okay, just kidding. That was during the 92 Olympics when they took the famous image of Michael, Larry, and Magic together. Yeah, no last names necessary. Michael, Larry, and Magic all together. Yeah, it was funny. And everybody laughed. And yes, Magic Johnson laughed at his own joke, but it was funny. So give him credit for it. Dang it. Thankfully, again, Jaden McDaniels hadn't missed any time other than a little bit in that Indiana game, getting banged up a bit, but ended up playing well. Mike Conley clutched down the stretch again, another dagger of a three as the game progressed. 4 of 6 from downtown, yep, and a dagger. Anthony Edwards, yes, the bad shots. There are too many of those. I do think he's way beyond Wiggins, though. I don't think there's any doubt about that. I mean, I'm sure Marcus knows that. I'm sure Marcus understands that. It's just still, there's a little bit of that. There is a little bit of a Wiggins in him with the bad shots and such. So I can understand the frustration. Rudy Gobert finally gets to double digits. He also added, he had the 15 points, also added 13 rebounds and 3 blocks in the game. This was his best game of the week. No doubt about it. But again, some really nice blocks in the Miami game, especially on Bam Adebayo. That was awesome. There was a bam of a block. Karl Anthony Towns' poorest shooting night, only 7 of 17, and again, an injury late in the game with no information as to his condition after the game. So we'll see his condition, whatever the freaking term is. But from Coach Finch, Chris Finch, Coach, please tell me the truth. What happened? What happened, Coach? Okay, sorry, I know, I'm just making fun of maybe like a young reporter, like they're nervous. Coach, hey, Coach. No, Chris Finch seems like an approachable guy, doesn't he? Like, not super approachable, but approachable, you know? He's not, yeah, I can't imagine. Nasri did foul out, and again, frustrating again. I could imagine, yeah, Nasri's had a few frustrating nights, unfortunately, including the Laker game. 3 of 9, frustrating versus the 70 Suckers and all that as well, because they weren't Suckers. They were pretty good. Yeah, Reed definitely didn't have his best week. And he was the MVP last week, wasn't he? He got the award. Yeah, the Sixers, 20 minutes, 10 points. I'm kind of backtracking and I apologize. And I'm getting the frozen screen effect. I don't know why, but yeah, 4 of 9. It's not like he was terrible, but yeah, 4 turnovers. He wasn't good. So, unfortunately, yeah, I'm feeling something here. So the awards for this week, again, a win for the Wolves, thankfully, is, again, guys like Mike Conley pulling away down the stretch and really, really helped this team. The awards for this week, it's tough. It's probably going to be Anthony Edwards by, like, the slimmest margin. Again, he didn't shoot great a lot of the time, and obviously the shots and everything, but still very clutch versus the Miami Heat and clutch versus the Los Angeles Lakers. Mike Conley, honorable mention. Karl Anthony Towns, honorable mention. Towns certainly didn't have a perfect week, but he was spectacular versus the Pacers, and he was respectable versus Philadelphia and such. So, I mean, he deserves credit. Respectable versus the Heat. Anthony Edwards, clutch versus the Heat and the Lakers, and also clutch for the most part versus the Indiana Pacers. I think I'm going to go with Anthony Edwards for it, but by a slim margin. The Johnny Flynn Memorial, you know, I mean, Kyle Anderson has been an absolute mess. I don't know. He had a good game versus the Lakers for the most part. He was solid in that game, but, I mean, there were some weak plays by Naz Reid. Did I just say Naz Reid? Kyle Anderson. Some weak plays, some weak misses. He's looked kind of meh out there at times. Decent game versus the Lakers. Reed, I think, has struggled and, again, fouled out. Reed, this is a very gentle one, okay? Very gentle. Because, I like you, yeah, and I know everybody loves you. But a very gentle Johnny Flynn Memorial for Naz Reed. Like, super gentle. But I'm going to have Kyle Anderson share it with him. I think both of them kind of weren't so great this week. Kyle Anderson's going to share. In fact, he probably should get it by himself. Okay, Naz, you're off the hook. Kyle Anderson is going to get the Johnny Flynn Memorial. Naz is off the hook, but an honorable mention at the very least. Yeah, that's where I'm going right now. Kyle Anderson will get the Flynn Memorial. Naz, honorable mention, because it wasn't good necessarily. Didn't have a really good week. He had some moments, but generally speaking, wasn't good. It was kind of a mess.
Interesting. I wonder if McDaniels and Russell were talking trash or just having a conversation. It's hard to tell, but just certain replays and such. And right now on the screen, we're seeing the... Yeah, I mean, it's good that Rui Hachimura didn't put his arm out too much. Yeah, he could have been... He could have broke his arm easy. He would have been out for a long time. Yep. In the NBA, he might have been out for 2 years. But, okay, just kidding. With that said, we're going to take a quick break, come back, and preview the upcoming games. And we are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment numero dos, or segment number two, or whatever it is. Yeah, well, three games to preview. The Sacramento Kings, the OKC Thunder, the Dallas Mavericks, and then next week will be the Los Angeles Lakers. Los Angeles Lakers again. That'll be the last game of the year of 2023, anyway. Sacramento Kings, oh boy. Well, they're 16-10, and they were a tough matchup for us last time around because everybody played, you know, everybody played. See, when everyone plays, it's a little different, you know. You got to take on teams full strength. De'Aaron Fox is averaging 30 points a game. I'll say that again. De'Aaron Fox is averaging 30 points a game. Yeah, I mean, I never really thought he was going to be on that level, but I guess he is. 16-10 are the Sacramento Kings. They were a pain in the butt last time we played them. Malik Monk, foot injury as of December the 21st. JaVale McGee. Shaqt and a Fool. The king of Shaqt and a Fool. At least he used to be. December 21st, wrist injury. Alex Len. The guy who will block a shot once a month or so. When he's actually healthy and in the rotation once in a blue moon. Ankle injury as of November 14th. Carl Anthony Towns, apparently it's a knee, so it's, yeah, it's leg. Carl Anthony Towns, that was of yesterday, knee, so, oh boy, well, fold your hands and pray, folks, please, we don't need another one of those, please, please, Carl, don't be hurt, please, don't be hurt. 17th in points are the Wolves, 8th in points, Sacramento, Wolves are 9th in rebounds, Sacramento 19th. Other major notables, 7th and 11th, 7 for Wolves from 3-point range, 11th for the Kings. And, you know, one of the other random stats that are important, but I mean it's random, but I only bring it up if it's real high or really low. Sacramento's 3rd in the league in assist-to-turnover ratio, and they are 5th in assists. So again, so pretty impressive numbers. Sacramento, it was kind of a Philly type of game, just obviously different style of players, like more guard play in Sacramento because of De'Aaron Fox. 124-111. It was kind of like that game where it just felt the whole time the Wolves weren't going to win. Just you could just feel it. That was Black Friday, November the 24th. Saturday, December the 23rd. That would be tomorrow, according to all of us, in Sacramento. That one, the other one was in Target Center. So, luckily the Wolves have home court advantage in the series Friday, March the 1st. Can the Wolves somehow get this one? We'll see. Wolves are 4-1 in our last five. Sacramento is 3-2 in their last five. Tough loss to the Clippers, 119-99, and then got crushed by Boston recently, 144-119, but did win three in a row, crushing Washington, Utah, and beat OKC by five as well. An impressive win there. No doubt about that, Luddy. I don't know. It's a tough matchup. It's a very tough matchup. I want to believe the Wolves can get the job done. De'Aaron Fox, I remember he had missed some time around there, but then came back and then was very good against the Wolves. It's definitely a tough matchup. 40% from downtown is Fox. Sabonis, 39.4. Keegan Murray, 37%. Malik Monk, but is he injured? 41.9. Good Lord. Harrison Barnes, even 40% from outside. Yep, Harrison Barnes. I don't know. I'm not sure what to say about this one. Sacramento has not been playing particularly well. I'm going to step out in faith, believe the Wolves can win this game. So maybe, you know, I mean, it's, why not? The Wolves are obviously a very good team. Man, it's tough. I think the Sacramento OKC deal, they're both on the road. I think we're going to split that.
I got a feeling it's going to kind of go the other way in both cases. Like how we beat OKC in impressive fashion, but then got beaten in impressive fashion on the other side by Sacramento. I think the Wolves beat the Kings. Anthony Edwards with 30 in the game. We'll see what Carl does. Anthony might have to have 35. This could be a problem, actually. A huge problem. I'm changing it. Sacramento's going to beat the Wolves again, and they're going to win the season series. Yeah. Yeah. Sacramento's going to win the season series, unfortunately. Final score along the likes of 122-115. Sacramento wins. Anthony Edwards does get over 30, but the Wolves do not win the game. Oklahoma City Thunder, 18-8 on the road. 18-8 on the road. Hopefully the Wolves don't get in a losing streak here, especially if Carl's out. Luckily, you do have Naz Reid, and I think he'll be a huge factor. He's going to have to play better than he did this past week, though, because you know he was in the wrong category this past week. Another guard with 30 points a game, 30.1 in SGA. But the Wolves have had success against this team, and it's been insanely impressive. Despite the fact they're very dangerous. Chet Holmgren can hit the outside shot. He can block almost three shots a game. It's kind of like a better McHale in a lot of ways, you know. Okay, that's a little early to say that. McHale was a legend. He's a different player, and it's a different era. But I can imagine McHale, like kind of a younger athletic version of McHale, you could say. That's kind of what he's like a young athletic McHale. He kind of plays a McHale type of game, but adds the threes and such. Or I'm just full of crap. But, I mean, I have heard the comparisons. Maybe I'm just full of crap, but I'll just leave it where it is. I always get a kick out of Aaron Wiggins because you could see A Wiggins sometimes on the Oklahoma City Thunder. We'd always have fun how Andrew Wiggins owns the Thunder, especially when he was with the Wolves. So it was like an entertaining thought process there. Aaron Wiggins, yep, averaging 5.2 points a game, and there's no relation that I know of. No North Carolina there probably is somewhere, right? Everybody's related somehow. Yeah, he is North Carolina. Doesn't look like him at all, but you never know. Maybe they're distant cousins. Who knows? Because everybody's a distant cousin, if you know what I mean. So, we are. Oklahoma is 5th in points, 25th in rebounds, 5th in points, 3rd in field goal percentage, number 1 in the league in free throw percentage, number 2 in 3-point percentage. So, they're kind of like the Pacers a little bit. In terms of offense, but better. Like, their defense is better than the Pacers. They're like the better version of the Indiana Pacers in a lot of ways. When it comes to the Western Conference, it's like the Western version of the Pacers. It's they beat the crap out of people when they beat them for the most part. They beat the crap out of the Clippers recently, 134-115. Beat the crap out of Memphis with Big Jaw, with Jaw's big jaw, big flapping jaw out there, his big mouth. And other issues. We'll leave that where it is. We don't need to get into that anymore. He did come back and play, and he didn't play in that game. I don't know. I'm not a fan. 116-97 there, and then a very impressive 1-point win over Denver. Their only loss was to Sacramento. Entertaining battle, I'm sure that was. 128-123. Again, crushed Utah as well, so we don't need to talk about that too much. Chet Holmgren again averaging almost 3 blocks a game. Aaron Wiggins is actually shooting almost 60% from the floor. SGA, as they call him, 30.7. Chet, yeah, they don't get a lot of rebounds, but they don't miss a lot of shots either. 8 rebounds a game by Chet, but that also probably means they're not stopping people as much as they'd like. Shea is also averaging 6.5 assists, basically. And the annoying Josh Giddey, also a nice, valuable player, but he's annoying, apparently, so, and other issues out there. We'll leave that where it is as well. We don't need to get into any other conversation. Apparently, he has an ankle issue, so he may not play in the game as we look at the injuries as of yesterday. So, it's going to happen. I don't know. Wolves beat Oklahoma City. If we're going to lose to Sacramento, we're going to beat Oklahoma City. I suppose losing streaks can happen, and I'm believing there won't be a 2-game losing streak here. Or, like, I imagine 3 out of 4. That'd be really rough, but good teams have bad stretches sometimes, so it's possible the Wolves drop both of these. I do think the Wolves drop one of them, and put it this way, if the Wolves sweep this group, especially if Carl misses a few games, boy, I don't know. So we're going to have to wait and see how things turn out with that. But I'm going to step out in faith. The Wolves win this game. I'm probably going to be wrong. I don't know. Maybe not. Wolves win the game. Final score of
Final score of 118-117. The Wolves win by a point. Anthony Edwards with 35. Anthony Edwards with 35. Wolves win by a point over the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's going to be an epic battle between Shea and Anthony Edwards in the game. And now we're going to move forward versus the... What did I just do? Yep, I pressed the wrong button and I messed everything up. Dallas Mavericks again. Oh, boy. Well, but at least this one's in Target Center. The Wolves beat this team very impressively on the road. And I don't think there's any reason for me to believe the Wolves can't take care of business versus the Mavericks in Target Center. Definitely an offensive-minded team. Sixth in the league in points. They're 23rd in rebounds. And number one in the league at protecting the ball, though. That's a big thing. We talked about that last time. Number one, first in turnovers, only 11.5 a game, and third in assist-to-turnover ratio. But their defense is just not there. They don't block shots. They don't steal. 25th and 26th. So definitely an issue there. Doncic, another guard that's averaging a billion points a game. And we'll see what happens with Kyrie Irving. The oft-injured Kyrie Irving. 32.7 a game for Luka Doncic, everybody's MVP out there, with 9.1 assists and 8.4 rebounds. Obviously a triple-double threat every night that he plays. There's no doubt about that. Derek Lively has been lively on the rebounds, but not lively enough. 7.5 there for him. Kyrie averages 23 a game and also 5.2 assists. So they definitely move the ball around, and they protect the ball as well. Well, they're 22nd in assists. Interesting. But they protect the ball, though, which is impressive. That makes Doncic look awfully damn good. He looks like an erratic guy, but he's not. He protects the ball very nicely. And that's extremely important. The Mavericks are 16-11 coming into Target Center at the end of the day. I got to click on something. I'm forgetting something. Injury situation? Uh-oh. Well, interesting. Dante Exum, that's another point guard. They have like 9 of them. Contusion. So he'll be back in about he'll be back in about 12 months. Quad injury for Luka Doncic. Well, he's either going to play or he's going to be out three months for that. Seth Curry with the back injury, apparently. He's, again, that Allen Iverson shooting guard role, if you know what I mean, the smaller shooting guard style. More than a point guard type of thing. Well, we'll see. I think the Wolves win the game, though. Hopefully Karl Anthony Towns plays in this one. And if he does, I got a feeling he gets 30. I get a feeling Carl gets 30 in the game. Has a nice, nice, strong performance. Maybe 25 to 28-ish, but I'm picking 30 at the end of the day. And if he does play, he will lead the Wolves in scoring versus the Mavericks. And the Timberwolves end up winning the game by a final score along the likes of something. I'm going to look at Dallas real quick here. Yeah, they're only 2-3 in their last 5. Recently, getting beat by the Clippers by 9, crushed by the Denver Nuggets, 130-104. So it's pretty bad, actually. The Wolves did beat them just recently, 119-101. Impressive win. Wolves win the game. Final score, something along the likes of 125-110. The Wolves win comfortably over the Dallas Mavericks. A little higher scoring than last time, in my humble opinion, so, which means it'll probably be like 99-98 or something with the Mavericks winning. But no, probably not. We'll see. I'm going to stick with it. 125-110. Wolves win by 15. Carl with 30, if he's healthy. And I hope he is. Hopefully he's healthy and ready to go. Otherwise, well, we'll see. It'll be lower scoring, and the Wolves still beat them, I think, at the end of the day. Kyrie Irving is not sure what to say about Kyrie Irving. I'm going to check something immediately here. Is he actually? I thought he was playing. Nope, he's not. So Wolves win the game. Yeah, definitely. Kyrie Irving's another guy injured or whatever. We'll see you in like forever. So it's a letdown. You pay them billions of dollars and they're out all the time. And prolonged injuries and such. Prolonged, if you know what I mean. So that's where we're standing on that one. Wolves win by 15. With that, we'll take a quick break and we'll continue fan interaction. We are back here on Timberwolves Explosion, segment number 3, fan interaction segment. It would help if I had it up. the Twitter account anyway, the X, whatever the hell it is. TWolvesEX, at TWolvesEX. And yes, Wolves Explosion has been active for about a year now, but you know how that goes. It was inactive since 2020. So when it's inactive for 2.5 years, you just kind of hell with it. Even though there was a bunch of followers, people probably forgot about it. I remember trying to tweet and it seemed like people just ignored it. So this one's more active of now. Maybe I should tweet on both and see if something happens. Anyhow, the last episode was retweeted by Derek Felska out of Western Wisconsin. And he's been a big supporter of Brave the Wild and also Video Game Flashback. I did release Bible Adventures recently on Video Game Flashback. Retro Video Game Podcast, now 25 episodes in. So a little bit of a library already for that show. Again, it was born in 2008, but dormant for 15 years approximately until it finally came out of its dormancy. Thanks to me putting it in dormancy, but getting it out in November 2022. Anyhow, but yeah, he's a big supporter of both and really appreciate Derek Felska. And he does do a Minnesota Wild podcast, just like Brave the Wild. His is Crease and Assist podcast. Do look it up. You will enjoy it very much, especially if you like hockey. Benzo, coming in out of the Bronx. The Bronx. Awesome guy. Coming in out of the Bronx. How can you not love that? And Vince Germano coming in out of Melbourne, Australia. I don't believe, looks like Tane and Levi, they didn't, I think they reposted it, unless that's a different episode. Either way, I appreciate it, and I know you guys have been, very loyal to the show, so it's not like, oh no, So, it is what it is, we'll see. They may have, but we'll move on here. Jaden McDaniel's GOAT was saying, Shake and Kyle in the same lineup is something I never want to see again. I was saying, yeah, they've been horrible. They haven't played well. No. Shake is a candidate for the Johnny Flynn Memorial every single week. He's definitely disappointed by the year so far, to be quite fair. Even Kyle has been a bit as well. Yeah. Kyle's disappointing compared to last year. There's no doubt about it. What was I bitching about? Okay, I know Philadelphia is one of the elite teams in the NBA, but the defense has definitely taken a step back. Feels like, that'd be the Wolves, feels like they're just plowing right through us. Tenney says 8 first quarter free throws for Embiid set the tone. Couldn't go near him without a whistle being blown. And I was saying, yeah, it's absolutely atrocious and one of the most frustrating games I have ever seen. It really was. It was a very frustrating game. Could we beat them in the NBA Finals? I'd like to believe. I tweeted out that Shake is a weird player. Kind of reminds me of Martell Webster. It took me a while to think of the right person, but I think I did identify who it was. That's my belief, yes. I think Shake Milton he's similar to Martell Webster in a lot of ways. And a guy like Martell Webster on a team like the Wolves probably wouldn't get a lot of playing time, where back in the day, we were desperate for any type of a spark. And Martell Webster had talent, that he was just low IQ, and he was a mess, if you remember correctly. He's the player that infamously dunked when the Wolves were trailing by 3 with 3 seconds left or something like that. And the Wolves basically lost the game right there. That was pretty dumb. Yeah. What are you doing? He's like, yeah. Oh, no. What was I thinking? It was funny because they just said, oh, you're going to drive the basket? Okay, go ahead, man. It was funny. I was saying all again. I'll say it again. Huge step back defensively and too many technical free throws for Philadelphia. It was so much frustration in that game. I didn't tweet during the Laker game. That's weird. So that's on me again for not interacting enough, and I apologize. I interacted a little bit, but not enough. So I need to be better about that. Facebook page, occasionally there's a little bit. Facebook.com/TimberwolvesExplosion. It's going to take me 20 minutes to load it, unfortunately. That's just how that goes. Actually, it's not as long if you... Sorry, I should have had this up already. What the heck, man? Facebook.com/TimberwolvesExplosion. Where's the page? What the heck? Come on, guy. There it is. Yep, mostly just likes, and I appreciate those likes very, very, very much. Guy Lavender, huh? Interesting. I like to hear from you, guy. Yeah, guy. Yep, Levi Brown, Vince Germano. So people have been liking them, but yep, the comments have mostly been on Twitter, maybe Instagram. Let's get to the Instagram here. That'll take me 20 minutes to load also. Maybe not that long, but... Oh, boy. Yeah, do this, do that, right? That's my texts. My texts are filled up with do this, do that, if you didn't notice. Okay, you didn't.
Should have had this up, and I apologize, but that's just how it is sometimes. There it is. Timberwolves underscore explosion is Le Page Jaja. Okay, wrong thing. Was there any recent comments? Likes. I appreciate the likes very much, but no comments, and I understand. It's okay. But that's the Instagram. Obviously, Instagram is still in, like, infancy stage. Let me tell you, it's... if on Facebook, it is an absolute infant when it comes to, you know... yeah, it's an absolute infant when it comes to any type of following and such on Instagram. So, it is what it is. I should post more and such. So, it's kind of on me, a lot of it, and I say that every week. And I keep doing the same thing. So, starting to sound like Christian Ponder with easily correctable mistakes. Then correct them, you dummy, right? With that said, just again, those of you that do interact with the show and have interacted with the show, I appreciate you a million times over. Also, I want to say, I wonder if that's when Carl got hurt. Maybe he's not coming down the court. Yeah, he's holding his knee. Yep. Slowly, gingerly, he's like, I'm out of here. He just kind of put his hands up like, yeah, I'm out of here. That's when it happened. He was going to go in up for a shot. Ball pops out. I don't know if he got knocked out or what, but what's going on? Yep, there goes Kyle going in for a reason. And then it just kind of was quiet, very subtle. Hopefully it's nothing serious. We'll see what turns out with that. So I just saw where the play was. It didn't look too serious, but I don't know. Knees are knees, man. You don't play with those. So who knows how Kyle got up right away, like, oh, got to play. Yeah, they got to. I have to go in. So... Interesting. Yep, just kind of driving to the basket. Ball pops out, and then the next thing you know, he's kind of like still there. He wasn't coming. So, yep, there he is. Yeah, he's walking pretty, just kind of like, stiff, kind of hurts. And then that was it. So, okay, there's your update on, well, it's not really an update. That's what actually happened. Okay, so, sorry. I want to thank each and every one of you that have interacted with this show. Even just a like, even as much as a like, it still helps. It helps. It's like an algorithm of some kind. But hopefully we can get more and more algorithms, so to speak, on the podcasting apps out there, the podcast providers, the apps out there, like, you know, any of them. Anything like, well, even like likes on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, X, whatever. But also on the podcasting apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and such. It's been a little while. The reviews that I have gotten are so, so nice, and I really appreciate them. They mean the world to me, and I've read them all on the air when they came out. The most recent one was just awesome, but it's been a while, obviously, so hope to get some more up there. It'll help the show continue to, you know, be noticed, so to speak. When somebody searches for the Timberwolves, maybe I'll be on the list rather than 15 million shows beneath everybody else. maybe I don't deserve to be. I don't know, and that's fine. But I miss hearing from some of you as well. Obviously I miss hearing from Reese Pedretti a bit. Yeah, it's been a little, maybe been busy with the youngster, but I do see him posting random hoops quite often. Yep, there's a Big Dog Robinson. Yep, that's a recent post. Woof. With big trophies and all that such. Purdue University. That's definitely Big Dog. It took like 1 second to know that one. So, understand if you're busy, though. Yep, shooting up some bricks, he was saying. Almost erupted. Yeah. That was that Houston and Knicks NBA Finals. Yeah, that was, it was a pretty brutal series. It was an awesome series, but I can imagine those teams freaking hated each other the rest of their life after that series. Yeah, it was a good one, and it was very, very competitive and intense. And there was a lot of mean players on both teams, especially the Knicks, though. So there I go again babbling. But no, big shout-out to Random Hoops. That'd be Reese Pedretti coming out of Brisbane, Australia. But no, if you can put likes out there, or excuse me, positive ratings on the podcasting apps, that'd be greatly appreciated. And those of you that have, thank you again so much, and the really awesome reviews. With that said, have yourself a merry little Christmas. And happy holidays if you celebrate any other holiday, like obviously Hanukkah or Kwanzaa. So happy to that. Happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa. Merry Christmas to everyone. God bless you. And we'll talk to you next week.